a big pill to swallow.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Another multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical deal is in the works. This morning, drug makers Merck and Schering Plough say they're getting together. We're joined by Ashley Milne-Tite, who is looking into this merger. Ashley, tell us more about this morning's developments.
The deal is worth more than $41 billion in cash and stock, and the new company will take on Merck's name, so Schering Plough will become a thing of the past. And the companies overlap in a lot of the kinds of drugs that they make. So cholesterol is a big area for both companies, and so are drugs for things like asthma and hay fever. And that's seen as being a very stable market because those conditions aren't likely to go away anytime soon.
And Ashley, just a few months ago, we had Pfizer buying Wyeth in a deal that was, what, close to $70 billion? Why are we seeing drug companies merging like this right now?
Well, one huge concern of a lot of these drug makers is some of their most popular drugs are coming off patent in the next several years. So that means generic drug makers will be able to step in and make those drugs and sell them for a lot less than the big companies have been selling them for. So for a company like Merck or like Pfizer, teaming up with another company lets them capitalize on new drugs in the research pipeline. And on top of that, there's probably going to be some pressure from the Obama administration as they work on healthcare reform for drug companies to bring down prices. So that's another reason two big drug makers might want to get together.
All right. Ashley Milne-Tite joining us from New York. Ashley, thank you.
You're welcome.
And not much enthusiasm about the deal on Wall Street. Dow is pretty much flat, down about a tenth of a percent. NASDAQ up half a percent. S&P 500 up about a quarter of a percent this morning. European markets down. Asian stocks closed lower. As America's financial fallout continues, criticism has escalated among GOP leaders. They say the Obama administration shouldn't be throwing more money at the nation's banking problem. Alabama Senator Richard Shelby is the ranking member of the Senate Banking Committee. Yesterday, he told ABC's This Week some of the financial institutions should have been allowed to just go away.
Close them down. Get them out of business. If they're dead, they ought to be buried. We bury the small banks. We've got to bury some big ones and send a strong message to the market. And I believe that people will start investing in banks.
Shelby pointed to Citigroup, which he called a, quote, problem child. That bank's gotten $45 billion of federal help, and the government has at least a 30% stake in it. Meanwhile, the bank bailouts here at home are starting to hit highly skilled immigrants. Some foreign students about to graduate from American business schools have had their job offers withdrawn. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, has that story.
Bank of America has just given some foreign MBA students in the U.S. the bad news. They won't be getting a job with the bank after they graduate this summer. The bank blames a clause in the latest bailout legislation. Bank of America has already received $45 billion in government money. It's laying off thousands of American workers. So under the recent stimulus bill, it may not apply for visas for highly skilled immigrant workers. Stefan Szymański is with the Cass Business School. He says discriminating against foreign students in this way is regrettable, but hardly surprising.
All countries devoting large sums of public money to recovery plans will inevitably direct those resources towards national citizens who have votes rather than foreign citizens who don't.
But critics of the move say it could turn off hundreds of foreign students from enrolling with American business schools. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report on Monday, March 9th, 2009 at marketplace.org. The Obama administration's auto team is in Detroit today to try to sort out some of the uncertainty surrounding GM's and Chrysler's rescue plans. Ford wants to unload its struggling Volvo division so it can raise cash and keep the rest of its operations going. Over the weekend, rumor had it a Chinese company was about to make a bid. Check that. Make it two Chinese companies. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Chinese automaker Geely has picked an investment bank to advise it on bidding for Volvo. That's one rumor. Another says Chinese brand Chery just got the government's permission to make its own bid. Lots of chatter lately about some Chinese acquisition of Volvo or GM Saab brand, even assets of Chrysler. Former Chrysler executive Bill Russo runs the consultancy Synergistics. He says the brands up for sale offer the latest car technology and name recognition, two things the Chinese need to go global.
They definitely want to be on the world stage, equivalent to the brands with the highest level of esteem. And the only way I see of getting there anytime within the next 10 years will be through an acquisition process.
Many Chinese automakers have the financing to pull off a deal, but none have managed a global brand before. And the brands in question may need a slew of repairs. Volvo, for instance, lost $1.5 billion last year. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Many in the Native American community are meeting today for the start of the National Reservation Economic Summit in Las Vegas. What began as an intimate brown bag lunch 23 years ago is now a multi-day conference representing roughly 80% of the country's tribes. From Washington, Ronnie Radbill reports.
With the economy tanking, the summit comes at the perfect time. The National Center for American Indian Enterprise Development sponsors the event. The organization's Maria Dadgar says, despite the difficulty of accessing capital, Native American businesses are toughing it out.
We've always been extremely creative in finding ways to be competitive and to stay in the business. We've always had to adapt in order to survive, and so that's still going on.
Native American Travis Parachance owns IT company Sedutzing Technologies. He says the conference is a source of clients.
Right now, with the way the economy is going, we need some more work and we need to do more networking. A lot of people who want to do work with companies owned by tribes will be there.
One topic likely to come up at the summit is gaming. Tribal casinos are taking a huge hit. Business is down about 10% from a year ago. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
In New York City yesterday, this was the sound of the economic fallout. An auctioneer called off bids on hundreds of foreclosed properties. More than 1,000 people showed up for the event at a Manhattan convention center. It was double the crowd from last year. And as Jennifer Collins reports, the emotions were turned up too.
The auction drew 24 protesters, including Sharon Black. She's facing foreclosure herself. Black says banks that took federal bailout money shouldn't be allowed to kick people out of their homes.
It's our money that they're getting. And the fact that they shouldn't even have the audacity to foreclose or evict, given the amount of money that they made off the crisis.
Real Estate Disposition Corps ran the auction. Chairman Robert Friedman says he feels for those people losing a home, but he says his business serves an important purpose.
We're getting qualified buyers back into these vacant homes that do not do any neighborhood any good to have vacant homes in their neighborhood. We're turning them back into homes.
One of those buyers is Ed Bates. He paid $115,000 for a house valued at nearly $300,000. Bates says he doesn't feel bad about getting a bargain.
I feel sad for him, but it's still, that's the way the world is. It's not that I'm doing anything wrong. They probably were the one that did do something wrong.
More than 2 million homeowners faced foreclosure proceedings last year. Protesters say some foreclosures happening now violate government programs that help alleviate the housing crisis. The group says it's planning to demonstrate on Wall Street next month. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Surveys have shown that more than a third of people 18 to 40 have some sort of tattoo. That means brisk business for ink shops in recent years. And despite the fallout, people are still getting them. Andrea Mustaine reports.
In a small storefront in Brooklyn's Park Slope neighborhood, the tattoo studio Hand of Glory is a welcoming spot. In the back, owner Craig Rodriguez whistles while he works. Shop manager Karen Rockauer says there's a reason why they're in a good mood.
we were just discussing earlier today that the business is doing just as well as it was last year at this time, which is not consistent with most small businesses in the neighborhood.
And in fact, owner Rodriguez says his latest figures show business is up more than 40% from the previous year.
I've never really taken any real downhill turns yet.
And with tattoos moving from the fringes of society to the mainstream, he plans to expand. Rodriguez is opening a second shop upstate in the Catskills Mountains. But let's say you're at the mall. You just got a new outfit and you want a tattoo to match. Now you don't have to wait. Yes, tattoos are at the mall. At least this one in Wayne, New Jersey.
Our tattoos have grown 35% year over year, which is pretty spectacular.
That is Heath Wolfson, the CEO of Tattoo Nation. The company hopes to do for tattoos what Starbucks did for coffee. They're expanding into several more malls this year. Wolfson says in this tough economy, it's a question of bang for the buck.
Would I rather buy a pair of jeans that are going to go out of style in 6 months, or would I rather get a tattoo that's going to last a lifetime?
But back at Hand of Glory in Brooklyn, Craig Rodriguez says people don't just get tattoos because they're cost-effective. He says they're fun.
It's a little bit of an escape, and I think that that's what human beings do.
Even during hard times. Client Zach Greenblatt says it's impossible to pin down the psychology behind tattoos, but he has his reasons.
It could be because you're showing yourself that you can get through things like I am.
Greenblatt just got laid off a few weeks ago, but he says he won't let that stop him. He's adding red roses and a black crow to the intricate tattoo that already runs down his arm. He says tattoos can serve as a kind of memorial.
Sometimes people go through something horrible. You'd think they'd want to just completely forget it, but they mark it on themselves. And that's just a different way, I guess, of dealing with life.
Greenblatt says, don't be surprised if ex-Wall Street bankers start getting dollar sign tattoos. In New York, I'm Andrea Mustaine for Marketplace.
Hope you can check us out online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.